Hi ladies, welcome back to the Put Yourself First podcast. I want to talk to you today about self-awareness and why self-awareness alone is not enough to really truly make progress with healing, with growth, with manifestation. I believe that in the self-help industry, self-awareness can actually hinder your growth. It gets to a point where you know so much about yourself that that's actually causing more harm than good. It's causing overwhelm, it's causing frustration, it's causing you to be constantly noticing things, triggers, you know, all this difficult emotion within you. And I think where people have got to with personal development, with so much information out there now, is that you are overwhelmed with the amount of things you know about yourself, that it's like you don't know how to get past that point where you are very much aware of what you're doing, of all these things that we're going to get into, but you don't feel like you're actually gaining any real tangible progress from it. In terms of, yeah, you understand things because you've read so many books, you've listened to so many podcasts on all different topics, but you're still feeling triggered in your day-to-day life. You're still noticing that, yeah, you are aware that you're a people pleaser, right? But you're still behaving and, you know, you're still taking actions that are perpetuating that cycle. So you know what you're doing, but you can't get out of that cycle. And I see this a lot with new clients. So if you are resonating with what I'm saying and you're like, oh my God, Kat is going to call me out in this podcast, you are not alone. Please know you are not alone, and it's okay because of what I've just said. The industry is so full of information and it's so easy now to learn. And I'm going to say it in this way because I don't believe it in this way, but how it's portrayed in this industry, let's face it, it's so easy to learn what is quote unquote wrong with you. It's so easy to learn that. It's so easy to figure out the labels that you should have, or this happened and that means X, Y, Z. I have clients come on discovery calls or, you know, speak to me in sessions, and the level of understanding that they have of themselves, it's like they could be a coach themselves, you know, with this knowledge. They could have a frigging psychotherapy qualification because they know so much about their mindset, traumas. They can tell me what their attachment style is. They can pinpoint exact behaviors that they show and exactly where that comes from in their childhood. Or they can tell me word for word, like, my parent did this to me, or when I was growing up, I experienced this at school, and therefore I now am triggered by XYZ. They know so much about themselves, and that's a really good thing. So if you're here, please know that is a good thing. Self-awareness is so important. Self-awareness is not hindering your growth unless that's where you stay. Because I really feel like within this world, we can get seduced into feeling like we're making progress when we're just absorbing information. And we've all done it before. And like a counter example I would give is with organization. When you, let's say you need, like, you're feeling flustered because you're really busy in your work, in your life, you've got a big project at work, you're renovating your house, you have loads of birthdays coming up, whatever, right? You want to get organized. And you'll go out, and we've all done this, you'll go to the shop, you'll go to the stationery shop, or you'll go online and you'll order yourself a new notebook. You'll get all your different like pens and papers and stationery supplies. And in doing that, it's like an indulgent feeling of you already feel organized simply from having the new notebook on your desk. But you know that that feeling is finite, is temporary, because you feel like you're making progress with organization, but you're not, because we all know that in order to actually feel organized and be organized in our lives, we have to open the new notebook, we have to use it, we have to be consistent with a system, right? A time management system, whatever. We all know that when it comes to organization. And we recognize that behavior in ourselves of being addicted to that feeling of feeling like you've done something, you know, feeling that dopamine hit of I'm moving forward, I've done something to plan for. It's like doing something to plan to do something feels just as good to your brain as actually doing the thing that you need to do. And I believe that a lot of people get to that point or go through cycles of this in self-help where learning about something gives your brain, like, especially in this, you know, modern day, right? Our brains are wired now to seek that like quick fix dopamine hit. So if you learn these things, you learn everything there is to know about, let's say, attachment styles, or everything there is to know about your, you know, the specific behaviors you struggle with, let's say people pleasing or setting boundaries or struggling to communicate and share your opinion when you're arguing with your partner. You're really aware that you go into that like triggered state and you can't speak up for yourself. We're really good at discovering information on the internet now that validates that feeling or that gives you context to that experience. So I have, you know, so many incredible women who I speak to who have a level of knowledge that like some professionals won't even have to that level, because they're so well read that they're, it's like they've worked so hard at personal development. They've worked hard at it. You know, I work with ambitious women, I work with hardworking women, and they will see self-development as a project. Just like they would take a project at work seriously, they take their personal development seriously. So they will go in on it. And when they come to work with me, they're aware that it's like they're so aware that they can see what they do, why they do it, but they still haven't changed or shifted that behavior or that belief or that feeling within themselves to a stage where it's positively, it's like having that ripple effect on their life and having that lasting change. And so I feel like this is a point where a lot of women come to me, where sometimes you can get to a stage where you've gone so far by yourself, you have that self-awareness that ultimately is the foundation of this work, because to know something within yourself is the first step. Because if someone else just tells you or preaches at you or says, you know, this is what you have, this is what you need, as a human, you're not going to be as receptive to that. You're going to be more defensive. You're going to, you know, you're not going to absorb that information. We've all been there, right? We've all been there when you've been lectured by a loved one or a friend or a teacher, and you've not, you know, you've not taken on that information, you've not used it. But later down the line, when you got to a point where you felt good, where you felt confident to get clear on that theme, you sought out that information yourself. And a lot of women get to this point where they've been seeking that information, and they might have gotten really, you know, they might have gotten started with that. They might have gotten to a stage where they have noticed some positive impact. What I also see, though, I'd love to hear maybe on Instagram if you resonate with this. What I see is women get into a stage where it sometimes has a hindering negative, like unwanted impact on them. Because imagine how frustrating it is, and maybe you don't even need to imagine because you go through this, but let's say you struggle to say no and you really struggle to set boundaries. You're in a situation where someone is asking you to do something and you know you don't have the capacity to do it, but you still say yes. And you can almost have this bird's eye view of yourself. You can look down at yourself and see yourself saying yes when you want to say no. And that experience, if you've ever been there, is so frustrating, because it's like being blissfully ignorant to that behavior would almost cause you less stress in that moment than being so aware that you're doing it but not being able to actually stop doing it. And so if that is where you're at, then what I want to share with you here is where you go from here. And I feel like when women come to work with me, especially one-to-one, they're at that stage where they're ready to go that layer deeper. They know that they've got so far on their own, but they want to take it to the next level. And the three things that I want to share with you are really three keys to taking it further past that point of self-awareness and more into what I would call embodiment and like learned wisdom. Embodiment is like your whole body has integrated that knowledge and you are able to use it in your day-to-day life and actually physically feel a difference within yourself, be responding differently to a situation, using that example when someone asks you to do something and you don't want to do it, responding differently, responding in a way that serves you, not later on looking back and thinking, oh God, like, why did I do that? I wish I would just stop doing that. I just want to be able to say no. But having the tools and having experienced the shift so that in that moment you can say no and you can feel really good in saying no to that person. And if you're listening to that and you're thinking, how the hell could I ever get to that point? You can. Believe me, I've had clients come to begin working with me and the situations they're in, they're laughing on the call because they need to laugh at themselves, because they're like, if I don't laugh, I'll fucking cry. Because how, they're like, Kat, how have I got myself in such a pickle with this person? Because all I've done is bend over backwards for them. And now I'm having to like backtrack and unpick this mess that I've made for myself because I I just didn't say no when I needed to say no. I've had clients come into my work at like that, at that level, and that can go for work situations, work relationships, whether that be clients, whether that be team members, whether that be colleagues, a boss. I've had clients come in wanting to work on that on a personal level as well. So often people are particularly triggered, say, by a certain parent or a certain loved one or a certain friend in their life, where that trigger, that behaviour that you're noticing, that you're very aware that you're doing, is happening and unfolding, and it can be, you know, it can happen more frequently with a certain person. I've had clients come in really struggling with that, and then, you know, 6 months down the line, sending me a voice note saying, "Kat, I'm so proud of myself because I was so calm and I said it so calmly, so kindly, so confidently. And I said, no, I said, I can't do that." So going from like literal, you know, panic mode at the thought of saying no, to in the moment when someone puts you on the spot and says, "Oh, can you do this for me?" Being able to take a breath and have language and have the confidence to say, "Oh, I don't have the capacity for that right now." And be fine with it. And, you know, not be at the end of the world. And that I could use so many other examples, right? From, you know, speaking of attachment styles, clients struggling with avoidance in their romantic relationship and going from really struggling to have any like deep communication with their partner to months down the line being able to be really open and vulnerable with their partner, being able to really name their emotions with their partner. So whatever it is, right, that you are struggling with right now that you are so aware you are doing but can't move past, these are the three things that I work on with clients so that you can thrive in that area of your life. Not just have all this logical knowledge of why what you're doing is quote unquote wrong, or what label you would give it, or what expert told you XYZ about it, but actually just feel different in that moment and not be triggered and feel calm and be able to do something completely different. The first thing is healing at the root cause. So an analogy I want you to think about, and I've shared this before, is a weed in a garden. If you're a gardener and you're cultivating this beautiful garden and you have some weeds in a corner, if you used your lawnmower and just mowed over those weeds and cut them off at the top of the soil, that would temporarily get rid of the weeds, right? It would make you feel good because you would be like, "Oh, like the weeds are gone. The garden looks great." But we all know that a weed will just grow back if you do that. So that's that gardener, your garden is gonna, you know, continue to be a mess because the weeds will just grow back. It's like that surface level work of feeling good about something because you've learned about it, or using surface level like logical tools, like trying to think of it differently, or trying to use tips and tricks that you've heard on a podcast to do something different. That is a temporary fix for a deeper issue. What I do is heal that behavior or that belief or that trigger at the root cause. So not just that in a specific situation at work when your boss gives you feedback and you panic and you can't take on any constructive criticism and you get really upset, but you no, logically, you want to stop doing that because you want a promotion and you want to be able to take on feedback. You want to learn, you want to grow. My work and the way we work is looking at what is the root cause of that trigger. Because once you heal at the root cause, it's like taking that weed in your garden and popping it out and digging it up and ripping out those roots. Because when we rip out those roots, the weed will not come back. And it might seem almost too good to be true that you wouldn't feel triggered in that situation, but it is possible. Because something along the way taught your brain that that situation, someone giving you feedback, was unsafe. You've had an experience in the past, or you've had a certain upbringing, or you've had certain conditioning placed on you, where your brain, which is so clever and is just constantly trying to keep you safe and keep you alive and make sense of the world around you, your brain has gone, that stimulus, receiving feedback from someone, is not good and is dangerous. And so that feeling of freezing and going into panic mode and shutting off and not being able to receive that feedback, that is your body, your nervous system, and your brain, your unconscious mind, trying to protect you in that moment. And no amount of logically, intellectually understanding that is going to help you stop having that response until we heal it at the root cause. Because when we heal it at the root cause, your brain goes, oh, you know, receiving feedback, yes, it can be uncomfortable, but I'm safe. And that's the power of that. That's when you are in that situation that used to trigger the fuck out of you and you feel different. The second thing that we do is clear the roadblock. So, healing at the root cause is very much like something painful happened in your past and that has created this, you know, micro or macro trauma, big T or little T trauma, you might hear it said. Even something like a teacher telling you off in front of the class at school could be an example of trauma for someone who really struggles to receive feedback now. That's healing at the root cause. Clearing a roadblock is like, when I think of a belief, or I think of like a certain thought process someone has about something, and how we, instead of clearing it away, like skirt around it. So a great example of this is identity work. Someone might say, and you might catch yourself doing this after you listen to this episode, someone might say, I'm a people pleaser, or I can never follow through with things. I procrastinate all the time. I'm so hard on myself. I never win at anything. Or, yeah, I have this, right? I have this label. Or like, I am this, you know, I am anxious, avoidant, attachment style, whatever, right? They will have something that is blocking them from moving forward. And I want you to think of that block, that mindset block, that limiting belief, whatever it is, as this literal roadblock. So imagine you're trying to get home and you're driving down the road and there's something massive in the middle of the road, a massive boulder. You can't, you know, you would be really pissed off if the council came and looked at that boulder in the road and was like, oh yeah, right, let's discuss where this boulder came from. We need to get to the bottom of that. Let's discuss why this boulder is here. What could have caused this boulder? Let's analyze all the different reasons as to why this boulder is here in the road. You would be stood there and you would be like, can you just fucking move the boulder, please, so I can go home? And that is the clearing work. That is clearing away the roadblock, not perpetuating it by walking around it in circles and constantly thinking about it and talking about it. And this is the thing, isn't it, with what I was saying before, where someone will say, someone will like confidently cast a spell on themselves every single day by saying, I'm not good at this, or I procrastinate, or I really struggle with communication. And your words are spells, ladies. Like, you are casting a spell on yourself when you say that thing. And that block, it's like you're walking around that boulder and going, oh yeah, like, well, I procrastinate because I have a fear of failure because, you know, my parents did X, Y, Z or whatever, right? It's like you're walking around that boulder day in, day out, and maybe trying to drive around it, maybe trying to skirt around it, or even building your life around it to perpetuate it, like doing things that maintain that identity rather than just clearing it away to make room for what you truly want, which is the boulder to be gone, so you can just be clear and not be in your own way. And that's the deeper unconscious mindset work, because if you are still seeing yourself as one person when the truest version of yourself is someone who thinks and believes completely different things, it's like, if you identify with something that isn't serving you, you're stood around that boulder chatting about it. And you might feel, again, temporarily, that you're making progress. It's like, imagine the council on the news going, guys, we're making progress with the boulder situation because we've got to the bottom of where it came from. Everyone who lived on that road would be like, okay, that's really great. I'm glad you know where it came from. That's really helpful information. Like, we want to know that. But I also just need you to, like, move the fucking boulder out of the way, please. Like, please. Thank you. Right? Isn't that a great analogy, I will say? I really enjoy that analogy when it comes to mindset work, because what are you repeatedly affirming to yourself? And what are you, like, what are you overly identifying with because of all the knowledge you have, because of the self-awareness you have? And is that serving you or is that not serving you? And that could be a limiting belief. It could be a behavior that you struggle with, anything. But when we work together, we clear the roadblock out of the way. We don't, you know, we chat about it. We do discuss it. It is really important to do that, but ultimately we clear it away so that you can move forward. The third and final thing is my clients become their own source of safety and regulation. And there's a lot of peace and freedom in that, right? Because I've been there. If you're here, it's okay. But you just know, like, it can change. You get to change this. When you are feeling triggered and you're very aware, right, you're so aware that I get triggered by this, I get triggered by this, I hate this, I feel really, you know, triggered when my partner does this or says this, I hate it in work when my boss gives me feedback. when we're aware of these things, it can disempower us when we essentially hope or expect or wait for the external circumstance to change to basically fit around our, like, wrap cotton wool around our trigger so that your behavior can change so that I can feel better. Or my boss will never give, you know, doesn't give me feedback so that I don't get triggered. Or my partner doesn't go out with his friends or doesn't, you know, doesn't always picks up the phone to me when I call them because that makes me feel okay. When you do this deeper work, you actually become your own source of safety and regulation because you basically identify that that trigger is your responsibility to heal. It's your responsibility to regulate. And some people will hear that and think, oh my God, no, like I can't. And some people will hear that and think, thank God. Because imagine the frustration you have right now. And you might even be in this situation where there are things outside of your control in your life that trigger you. Someone else's behavior is not within your control. Their response, their behavior, their thoughts, their actions, not within your control. But what is within your control is you, isn't it? It's how you treat yourself. It's the toolkit that you have to be there for yourself. And when you move through this, like, zone of almost hyper awareness, you can come back to this place of center within yourself and not be projecting out onto other people, I am triggered by this, or, well, I struggle with this behavior, or I struggle with this belief. And that is such a powerful place to be. And every single one of my clients reiterates that they feel so proud of themselves because they are in a situation where shit is hitting the fan at work, or they are having an argument with their partner, or their, you know, a family member is like acting fucking crazy, like is, you know, doing something that is objectively like not cool for them, and they need to, you know, they need to set a boundary, or they need to regulate themselves in those situations because arguments are stressful. Receiving negative feedback at work, constructive criticism, right, doesn't always feel great. These are human situations that are going to happen. But when you do this work and you've moved past that point of self-awareness into self-embodiment, self-healing, you are actually regulating yourself in those moments, and you know you respond differently in those moments because of the deeper work we've done in sessions, but you also then have a toolkit to regulate yourself and your own emotions within that situation. And to be able to go from, oh, I'm aware that I'm triggered right now, to moving through that feeling and finding a space of calm, safety, and presence within yourself, that is the greatest gift you could ever give yourself. It really, really is. So those are the ways that we take it one layer deeper when it comes to self-awareness, to self-embodiment, or what I also call surviving to thriving, where you have already worked so hard to get where you are now. And you are a busy woman, you're an ambitious woman, and you still notice yourself in those moments when you're aware that you're triggered or when you're aware that this behavior is happening, you notice your body going into that survival mode where you're maybe overworking or burning yourself out or people pleasing or avoiding, you know, setting boundaries, whatever it might be, right? I want you to go from surviving to thriving, from just being able to get through those moments because you know what's happening and you can like talk yourself through it, to actually feeling physically different in those moments and being able to remain centered, calm, and like be thriving within yourself in the face of anything that's happening in your life. That resilience, that inner internal strength, you know, that inner compass being so aligned and so steady. I was sending a voice note to my client before and I described it like a mountain, where when you have the toolkit you need and when you've gone through the deeper work to heal those roots and clear those roadblocks, right? You are like a mountain. And if you think of a mountain, that mountain can be being absolutely battered with rain, with wind, with hot beating down sun in the summer. And it's still a mountain. It's still there. It's steady. It's stable. It's unchanging. It's not moving, no matter what externally is happening. And I used to think that that feeling was only available to people who are like monks in the, you know, Himalayan mountains, like living this beautiful, like enlightened existence. You can feel that sense of like, I am here, I am grounded, I am calm in your day-to-day life. Even when you're busy, even when shit is hitting the fan, that is something you get to have. So I hope this episode has been inspiring for you. It's given you some food for thought. It's had that light bulb moment for you. If you are noticing that that self-awareness is starting to hinder your growth and you actually want to take it that layer deeper to that next level of your healing, your manifestations, your personal growth, I am taking on one-to-one clients right now. I'd love for you to discover my one-to-one program. If you resonate with anything I share in this podcast, you're probably a dreamy fit for my one-to-one work. So what you're going to do now is head to the show notes, click the link in the show notes, or if you'd prefer to talk through the program with me and ask questions, get to know whether it's going to be a perfect fit for you or not, you can either apply directly in the show notes and then I'll get in touch, or you can always DM me on Instagram and let me know that you're interested and we can have a chat, happy to voice note, message, all that good stuff. So I really look forward to hearing from you if you are a woman wanting to thrive in your life in 2024. You deserve that. And I cannot wait to connect with you if you're considering one-to-one. I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Like I said, message me on Instagram if you're resonating. Have a beautiful rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.